Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
My gripes for the week. And actually, I've only just got one, too. Well, actually, I've got two. I'll start with the first one, billboards. What's with those? Just kidding. But really, that wasn't my gripe. My gripe was about coffee, actually, because it's nature's most important thing for human beings, right? Like, easily. Corey, do you have like a more important thing in your life than coffee? Let me guess, Corey. You're one of those tea drinkers.
I have children. I have to take care of.
So never mind. Okay. You are not a tea drinker.
No, not at all.
Here's my thing about coffee: is it's so important. I need to drink it every day. Why does it have to immediately make me go to the bathroom? Like, why do I have to start my day the same way? I would like to some days just be able to drink my coffee and then do my job or get on. Like, here's what it is, right? Like, today's sit on the toilet and read the paper is sit on the toilet and scroll Twitter.
I'm looking at the dumb button right now. I'm ready.
You are ready. No. It's out of hand. I can see that you're ready for that. But, you know, seriously, you know, it's like today's modern, you know, like we're going to sit in the toilet and catch up on today's paper. Like, you know, there's a paper in here, you know, maybe during the break I'll head to the bathroom and read through the first two pages of the sports section. Like that's might be what you do. Instead, now all you have to do is like go on Twitter and kind of scroll through things. But like, you know, every once in a while I'd like to just not have the, you know, the chains of life. You know, I just feel like I'm being imprisoned in my own body because every time I take, and here's the thing, it's the first sip. Like, it's not even like, hey, I'm 3/4 of the way through my coffee, I gotta go now. No, it's more like, oh, it touches my lips, boom, here you go, get going, run, like actually sprint to the bathroom right now. If you don't sprint, I'm not sure you will make it.
So it sounds like you're pretty regular.
I must eat a lot of fiber.
That's good. Is this a conversation you want to have with your doctor?
You know, I don't know. I would say he'd probably look at me dead in the eye and say, Nate, you sound like a healthy young man.
Right. What's the problem?
You sound very healthy, Nate. Yeah, that was my gripe for the week because, like, I love coffee. And here's the thing. The stronger the coffee, the quicker the effects. And maybe this is part of the effects.
Okay, we started talking about analytics and Taekwondo. Have you applied analytics to your action?
You know, here's what I'll say is if you really want to dig deep, you'll find the numbers here.
What's your coffee over 60? That's what I'm asking, basically.
That's right. Maybe I'm drinking too much coffee. I was actually at the gas station this morning. And you know what? I've got another gripe. TVs on gas station pumps? What are we doing now? Like, where have we evolved to as a species where we were supposed to have flying cars, but instead we have TVs at gas pumps? And there's a gas pump TV station that is dedicated only to gas pump TVs.
Yep, gas station TV.
What? Where? The evolution of humans has really taken a weird turn.
Those folks who do that probably went to Syracuse.
No question. Like, they went to Newhouse School of Communications, and they are getting paid what?
Yeah, right.
Oh, hey, Mom, I finally got my first media gig. Yeah, you're going to be able to see me whenever you need to go fill up your gas tank.
Are they making oil money?
That's a good one. They might be. This is devolved. But hey, I digress. Literally, I've digressed. We've got a full slate for you today. We're talking a lot of Bills. Obviously, with training camp coming up, we're also talking Major League Baseball, because it appears anyways that it's on the brink of a shutdown. Four new St. Louis Cardinals players today have tested positive. So that means now two teams have had full-on outbreaks. The third, the Philadelphia Phillies, haven't played since last Sunday, have just got cleared to play because they just did a round of tests and there are no new positive tests. So a positive note there? Sal Capaccio is going to join me at 11:30. So we're going to get the first. We're going to kind of get the latest out of One Bill's Drive, because obviously yesterday the news, disappointing news yesterday, came down that John Feliciano, Bill's starting right guard, torn pectoral, will be out for 8 to 12 weeks. He has a return date set, or at least circling on his calendar, of the Las Vegas Raiders game, which I believe is week 3 or week 4, or it might even be later than that. I haven't looked at the schedule in a while, but definitely disappointing. We're going to talk with Joe Marino today, going to get kind of the ideas of what the depth is behind Feliciano. Obviously, Darrell Williams signed in the offseason, 27 years old, even though people think he's 1 million. He is only 27 years old and likely better on the right side and potentially at the guard position. So we'll talk a little bit with that with Joe Marino today. I've got Bruce Nolan of Bruce Exclusive of Buffalo Rumblings Podcast Network. He's going to join me at 12:30. And then I've got Pat Malacaro, of course, of WGR. He's the voice of the Bisons. We're going to speak with him about Major League Baseball. That's going to be at 1 o'clock because I just have a lot of questions about what the heck is going on in Major League Baseball. And more importantly, like, what does this mean for Buffalo? I know that the Toronto... I assume now the Toronto Blue Jays were the ones that are footing the bill for a lot of the modifications they're making to the stadium. I don't know if Pat's going to have the answers to that, but I would be really interested if all of a sudden, you know, the Bisons were asked to foot the bill for making a bunch of changes to the stadium so that the Blue Jays could play in it, just for them to never actually play a game. Like, what that would ultimately mean. Like, are they going to get reimbursed? Did the Blue Jays cover it in the first place and the Blue Jays are out a couple $100,000? Like, what's the situation? They were building a literal... like, facility in the parking lot of right field. So, like, there were things being planned, but Major League Baseball is in a real tough spot. Frankly, I look at it from this point of view. I've been pretty, like, lukewarm on baseball as it is. Like, you know, at the end of the day, I feel pretty weird about making sure, I want to watch baseball, kind of. But now that the NBA's back, the NBA has not had a bad game yet. The NBA, every game the NBA has put on national television has just been a barn burner. You know, like, there was an overtime game between the Blazers and the Memphis Grizzlies that had huge playoff implications yesterday that went to overtime. 130 points each was scored. Like, Carmelo Anthony's shooting threes. Like, I'm like, holy cow, this is amazing. And then on top of that, after the NBA, you have the NHL, which is starting today, officially anyways. There had been some scrimmages and some preliminary games being played, warm-up games. We'll see if the NHL can get this right. It seems like, anyways, the NBA and NHL have done something slightly different than the NFL and Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball is starting to set the stage, in my opinion, for what could really go wrong for the NFL. The NFL isn't going to bubble people. They're not going to force you to stay within a facility. You get to go home to your families, which is why you're seeing a lot of guys opt out. Patrick Chung's of the world, you know, the Marquise Goodwin's of the world, guys that have just had kids, guys who may have at-risk adults at home, maybe their parents, maybe their grandparents, maybe their spouses, their younger children. So, I mean, you can't bubble the NFL. There's 16 weeks, like 22 weeks if you count training camp. So you're going to quarantine people from their family for 22 weeks? It's not really viable. So the NFL is going to have an issue on its hands. When it actually becomes an issue, to me, is going to be the interesting part. 803-0551, 888-552-550. If you guys want to engage a little today, I'd love to hear from you. I have this feeling in my gut, and I don't want to say that I'm particularly happy about this feeling. But Corey, I don't know about you, but doesn't it feel like the closer and closer NFL games are to happening, the least and like the less and less it really feels like they're going to end up happening?
You know, when I came into work today, I felt like if there's an MLB game on TV, I want to watch it because I have this Louis Gohmert feeling of the whole thing like totally shutting down. Rudy Gohmert, excuse me. This is the last time I'm going to watch baseball for a year. Is today, because after today it's going to be going to be another test or something, and that's just going to be it.
And frankly, the commissioner of baseball bears a lot of blame They were the last to negotiate a move forward, essentially, but the first to play. So you had to see this coming. It was scramble, 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 last minute, okay, we agree to terms, let's play tomorrow.
It wasn't necessarily about how do we play the game the safest way we possibly can. Baseball was arguing almost exclusively about how many games can we play and what's the least amount of money we can pay you to play them. That was the nature of the negotiations between the MLBPA and MLB. It wasn't like how it sounded with the NHL, which was knocking out a CBA and getting that done completely and looking forward. And also, like, what city's the safest to play a bubble league in? Or it wasn't even the NBA, which was very seriously about guys are going to step in and we're going to stay here and that's it. And we have to make sure that guys are safe so that we can get this off the ground. The whole nature of the discussion in baseball was totally different.
Yeah.
It was like, it was just whatever. It was like any other labor dispute.
And frankly, I mean, like they were showing photos, right? Photos of like a panoramic overview shot of the Dodgers spring training facility, which has 9 baseball diamonds. So, Rod Manfred, don't give me we just didn't have the facilities or the capabilities of putting the league in one place and playing baseball and modifying, you know, the stands to put virtual. The NBA, in almost every facet of what they've done for this restart, has been terrific. From the virtual fans to the quarantining, the bubble. Obviously, there was a little bit of pushback from the players about the food. Like, whatever, right? Like, the players are going to complain almost regardless of what you do. So you're not going to win in every aspect of this, but by God, I mean, the NBA has figured out a way to play their games, do so while keeping the safety of their league at like the very top of their priority list. But also, the NBA's product is freaking outstanding right now. Like, and then what's the first thing Major League Baseball does? The first funny thing that happens, they suspend a pitcher for like a tenth of the season. Like, what is just Major League Baseball? Sometimes I just wonder, you know, is there a league that self-sabotages themselves more? I know I'm talking about this in the same light as the NHL, which also does their damnedest to just self-sabotage themselves and, like, push fans away. But Major League Baseball is better at it than anybody because it's just like, what are you doing? Like, these are just self-sabotaging decisions that you're making as a league. You have a team that hasn't played in 8 days and has no path forward. So what are you going to do? Like, are you just going to basically say, well, it's it for the Marlins this year. We're going to play with the rest of the league, but the Marlins are going to have to sit this one out. Are they going to postpone those games? Are they going to extend the season? Are they going to force the Marlins to have no days off for the rest of the year so they can fit in 8 meaningless baseball games? Man, it's just, you know, the more you talk about it, the more frustrating it sounds, the more you realize Rod Manfred is just over his head. And almost every decision he's made has been poor and against the best well-beings of not only the player, but the well-being of the league in general.
You get the leadership you want. And if Major League Baseball owners, if the only thing they're concerned about is making as much money as possible as quickly as possible, the leadership of the league will reflect that. And that's what Rob Manfred sounds like. The owners pick the commissioner. And for baseball, that's what they're, hey, you have an opportunity to knock the union down, take it. That's what his order was, and that's what he did. That is not what the orders were in, I can't believe I'm saying this, the National Hockey League, or in the NBA. So to have that kind of ownership group to make good decisions is kind of a thing that you have to keep and hold dear in our society these days. But still, like, the owners of the NBA didn't screw this up at all. They probably gave their commissioner, we want to play, but play safely and keep it going. Keep us alive.
You know, and I think your point makes a lot of sense to me. And I think about it from this too, Corey. Like, at the same time that Major League Baseball definitely can blame Rod Manfred all they want, the owners will likely use him as a scapegoat. I don't see Rod Manfred making it through to another season. There is no possible way that the Players Association, the Players Union, and the owners who employ the commissioner, in order for the owners to save face, they're likely going to have to get rid of Rod Manfred for them to save face.
Do they think this is bad? Like, have we heard anything from the owners of Major League Baseball? Any of these,
I would
I'm
say
assuming,
it's mostly
95-year-old billionaires?
Yeah, it's been radio silence.
That anybody's unhappy? Like, they'd have, like, we, this was, do you remember when, like, Roger Goodell was, like, constantly getting in trouble in the league, and people were just like, they started to think, like, is there a way that Roger Goodell is not the NFL commissioner? And the missing piece of that was NFL owners are making tons of money and they're happy, so yeah, he's going to stay. Are MLB owners totally happy with Rob Manfred simply because they make money?
But the second that stops,
right,
and it's looking more and more like it's going to stop tomorrow. So
the angriest, the thing they're probably angriest about is that anytime they want to sign a big league player that is a superstar, they have to pay hundreds of millions of dollars for that player. That's probably what makes them the angriest at this point. Other than that, I don't know. He blew up minor league baseball, which is something these guys have wanted forever.
Yeah, and like more and more you're seeing like why the players would have angst and the players would have hatred towards Manfred, because he's really blown up a lot of norms and institutions that are within Major League Baseball that are champ. I mean, your minor league baseball point is definitely not lost on me. That is something, you know, that I think is unfortunate. It has been an unfortunate side effect of COVID. Maybe the worst maintained relationship in major sports is Major League Baseball and its minor league farm teams through their lack of support, or really just no support whatsoever for minor league baseball. It's put thousands of men who are chasing a dream on the street with no income options. That's and no insurance and no benefits and no, like, I mean, Major League Baseball has put a pretty large facet of their game on cold water. And I just, you know, we'll see what happens. But let's go to the phones, because Mike in Buffalo has been waiting patiently, wants to chime in on this baseball point. Mike, welcome to Sports Talk Saturday. Thanks for joining, man.
Oh, hey, Nate. Actually, it's Mike from Albany.
Oh, Albany. Sorry, Mike.
Well, anyway, Buffalo's awesome. I've went there God knows how many times in the past few years for my job. But first, thanks. You had some very kind words for my phone call from 2 or 3 weeks ago. So really, thanks a lot for that. And
for
this
sure.
Amazing world when we are propping the NHL for common sense, which we never between the way they've handled COVID-19
yeah.
and the fact that there's going to be NHL players at the Olympics in the next two Winter Olympics. But when we get to baseball and football, I mean, I can't agree with you more. Just the way this has been handled with baseball, to see these infections just going past Florida and now more than likely going throughout both the American and National League, I just can't see how this season starts. And frankly, I can't see how the NFL is going to have a season at this point. I think it was one of the Patriots players who said, newsflash, the NFL is not a social distancing league. I mean,
either is the NBA, though, Mike, right? Like,
it's
crazy.
State training camp for, I guess I'll just appreciate having training camp at this point.
Right.
I don't know what else we're going to have.
Yeah, Mike, your point is a good one, because it's, of course, the NFL isn't a socially distant league. But look at the NBA, for God's sakes. The NBA doesn't have equipment. They don't have helmets and shoulder pads and, you know, a protective equipment on like NFL players do. The NBA is a bunch of guys who are sweating profusely, bumping up against other guys like that. And they're tell me what you want. In terms of basketball is a contact sport. So, but here's the thing, you know, the NBA is doing a good job of, first and foremost, they have the most diverse and intuitive testing procedure in pro sports. That's not lost on me. I think that that's going to be a major way that the NBA maintains and keeps order in the league and making sure that they continue playing basketball games. What the NFL is going to have issues. Like, we're already seeing with the Bills. The Bills had to send rookies home because five guys tested positive when they walked through the door. You can't tell me that the competitive balance of the league isn't going to be set on its head if the Bills lose Josh Allen for 3 weeks, if the Kansas City Chiefs lose Patrick Mahomes for 3 weeks in the stretch run, if, you know, he misses out in the first 3 weeks of the playoffs, what's going to happen? So, you know, the NFL has a steep, steep hill to climb. We're going to see if they'll be able to do so in a way that makes sense, that keeps the players safe. More importantly, maintains a way to play games deep into the season without forcing them, without resorting to what Major League Baseball is doing right now, which is we are making decisions, we're shooting from the hip, we have no real We have no real plan in place other than to let's hope we don't mess this up. And frankly, you know, like Canada has done a great job, and that's why you see the hub cities for the NHL in Canada, right? Because it's a country that has their COVID numbers under control. They have their local and state and federal governments, you know, with one message, with one way of doing things, with a universal method of combating this thing. And I think the NHL is going to be in a good place more than likely, and be able to, in my opinion anyways, get games through and get the season over with. Because that's, at this point, I think most of us are just hoping that we can get this season over with, put the asterisk next to the winner, which I know a lot, that's probably an argument itself. If, you know, are you going to put an asterisk next to the winner of the NBA championship? I think there are extremely extraordinary circumstances. I don't think that you should be able to take away anything from the winning teams that they do. I think more importantly, it might be more impressive for whoever wins the NBA championship, because I didn't know this was like a 140-day carryover from their last game, which is just insane to me. So a lot's going on. 803-0551, 888-552-550, the numbers to call. Let's go to TJ in Toronto. TJ, you're on Sports Talk Saturday. Thanks for hanging out with us, TJ.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, thanks.
I think that they should all close down all sports this year. Because they did a night, almost 300 points. They were just standing around. There was no tenacity. There was nothing, no spirit there. And I can't see how the NFL going to do anything to make it look real. Mm. All like touch football. There were more flags than anything else. Guys were grabbing, not tackling. Guys were pushing, not holding. It can be terrible. It's not going to be real. It's not real.
Yeah, I thanks for the call, TJ. I do wonder what the product on the field will look like with so many procedures and so many cautious procedures in place to make sure that guys are safe. TJ, I would probably push back against the fact that these will, you know, you're not going to see as much physicality in the game. I'm not sure that we'll see that, but I do wonder, like, what does the actual presentation of the game look like? I'm sure it will be significantly different. How it looks, I'm interested to see. By the way, quick programming update. I was able to move some things around. Obviously, we are on till 2:45 today. So I wanted to add an extra guest to our, and we moved some things around. So Joe Marino, who was originally supposed to join us at noon, is now going to join us at 1:30. And Mark Herzlick, former NFL player, college football beat reporter, and radio.com insider, he's going to join us at noon. So we're going to talk a little college football with Mark and the NFL as well. Mark Herzlick, if you don't know Mark is a former NFL player, linebacker from Boston College, was maybe best known for his ability to overcome like a very rare bone cancer and come back and get drafted. His story is unbelievable. So we'll have Mark on at noon to share some thoughts on the college football season, what's going to ultimately happen there. And we're going to push our conversation with Joe Marino, the Draft Network, and Locked On Bills until 1:30 p.m. That's going to happen right here on Sports Talk Saturday. So just to kind of give you an update, Sal Capaccio is going to join us next. That means Mark Herzlick at noon. That means Bruce Nolan at 12:30, Pat Mellicaro 1, and then Mark Herzlick at 1:30. So we got a jam-packed schedule all day today. Don't leave that dial. Stick with us all afternoon today. We've got lots of guests. We've got lots of football, Bills, Major League Baseball, hockey, college football. We're getting all over the ringer today. That's right here on Sports Talk Saturday on WGR. Good morning, all. Welcome back to Sports Talk Saturday. Nick Geary here. We're headed over to the Western Hotline quickly now because our very own Sal Capaccio joins me there live. Sal, good morning to you. How are you, my friend?
Pretty good. Pretty good. I see you've taken a day out of your busy golf schedule to actually go on the radio for once.
I have. I appreciate you noticing that. We missed you the other day, John Scott and myself and Marcel Louis-Jacques. We got out yesterday. We missed you. We wanted to get you out, but apparently you had some prior obligations. But we'll make it happen before the start of the season for sure.
That'd be great. That'd be great.
So, Sal, you know, obviously with players reporting, the news has started unraveling a bit. And yesterday, some big news, obviously, with John Feliciano being reported and confirmed with a torn pec muscle. It's likely going to be out for 8 to 12 weeks. That is a bit of a blow for an offensive line that I think really clicked at times last year. And John Feliciano was one of those guys last year that I think was really kind of the epitome of what Brandon Bean, what the types of players that Brandon Bean found in the free agent market last year, really these like come up stories. I think John Feliciano was a really good example of that. What are they missing if Feliciano is to miss, let's say, a quarter or maybe more of the season?
Well, I think, you know, it's twofold really about how big of a blow it is. Number one, we've talked all offseason, Nate, about the continuity of the offensive line. You know, this was an offensive line that was returning all five starters at the same position, assuming they were keeping Cody Ford at right tackle, which we can get to in a minute. But, you know, this obviously hurts that. Now you're not returning all five offensive linemen. However you slice it, you're basically going to have a new right guard. And, you know, this was one of the things that the Bills really had an advantage, I think, on a lot of other teams. That said, there's still a lot of internal options that everybody knows the system anyway. So, you know, it's not like a brand new person necessarily coming in off the street. It could be, but you're probably going to have somebody there anyway who's already been with the team. And the other thing is, you're losing a lot of versatility. You know, not only was John Feliciano the starting right guard, he was the backup center to Mitch Morse, and he had to play there a couple times last year. He did a very, very good job. So, you know, they'll have to kind of find some guys who can kind of do everything. But the good news is this coaching staff does value versatility so much that they have a lot of guys already internally on the roster, like Spencer Long, who can play guard and center, like Daryl Williams, who did play guard.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
I think he's going to stay at tackle. And of course, I think the question now is, does this team move Cody Ford inside, which I think they've been reluctant to do, but might want to start exploring that option right now?
I know that seems like probably the most obvious thing, because I think it gives you the option to see a guy that you've probably wanted to at least get some reps at. I know they got Cody Ford reps at guard during training camp last year. I remember in a preseason game, him and Nsekhe playing next to each other on the offensive line. Like, you mentioned the name Daryl Williams, and I do think his role in this is an interesting one, because I think if you're looking, Sal, at Cody Ford, and you're Sean McDermott, or you're Brandon Bean, or even in this case, Brian Daboll, and you look at the young second-year player and say, we just really don't want to move him from tackle to guard, does Daryl Williams then potentially get knocked down to guard? He does have guard experience. I think, Sale, and maybe you could tell me if I'm wrong, obviously his struggles last year, a lot of them happened on the left side. He was coming back from major injury. Do you think Daryl Williams bumping down to guard, as long as he stays on the right side, is something that could work for them?
It could. I think they would try other options first. I think they want Daryl Williams to play tackle. I think they want him to fight with Ty Nsekhe and or Cody Ford, however that works out, at the right tackle spot. But certainly, you know, being on the right side, I think they could do that, and especially now. And maybe their plan was to just kind of keep him tackle and guard on the right side, and we'll see. And even Brandon Bean alluded to that when we talked to him way back early in the offseason, that, you know, he did move around, and they feel he works much better on the right side. You know, he had an all-pro year at right tackle, and that's where he was in Carolina in 2017 when he had an outstanding season. So I think they'd probably want to leave him at tackle, because here's the other reason. if you move him to guard, you're kind of eliminating some of the other options, I think, that are pretty presentable to you right now, including, I think, an under-the-radar candidate could be Evan Bain. Evan Bain, he played right guard for the Dolphins, started 8 games last year there. You know, Spencer Long, he can play guard. He actually came in and had to play there for the Bills a few times. So the Bills have some guys who played guard, and I think they probably want to at least see if those guys can do that, maybe before moving Darrell Williams. But certainly Williams is. And again, let's go back to position flexibility, right? I mean, I think this team really values position flexibility. So we'll see. Ike Butker is another guy who, you know, could be. Oh, and the one person I'm leaving out, and I should definitely mention, I would not at all discount Ryan Bates. Yeah. Ryan Bates can play all 5 positions. They love Ryan Bates. Ryan Bates, you can keep him as a reserve to play all 5, or he can maybe slide right in and start at right guard right now, because I think that they really like him that much to give him that shot.
Sal Capaccio here on the Wester Hotline. All right, Sal, this is maybe a harder way to look at it, but what would you say your best-case scenario for this is? Would you say it's Cody Ford knocking down to guard? Here's why I would say that's not a best-case scenario, Sal. I would wonder if Cody Ford looks very good at guard. Then you're wondering about the long-term stability of the right tackle position, because if Cody Ford plays really well at right guard, you're likely not going to want to move him back to right tackle when Feliciano's back. So it, to me, that almost takes that out of being a best case scenario for them, is Cody Ford playing really well at right guard, because then I think it leaves a lot of uncertainty in the long term for right tackle. So what would you say then is the best case scenario? Is that Spencer Long coming in and just playing well enough to get Feliciano by and back? So like, what does that look like for you?
So I think also, first of all, we have to know, and the team is going to have a better handle on this, so as far as how long Feliciano is actually going to be out. Look, he posted on his Instagram page, he had a video that said, "I'm not going to miss too many games. I'll be back. See you in Vegas," is what he wrote on there. I think that's really optimistic for a torn pec. Typically, this type of injury keeps guys out for the year. I think you're probably looking at a pretty significant loss of time here for John Feliciano if he's not out for the season. And hopefully he's not, and maybe it's not as bad as some of the other torn pecs we've seen. But I think the team would have to have a good handle on that. If he's only going to miss 4 or 5 games and they feel, okay, you know what, this injury is something he can come back from, then I think what you're saying is absolutely right. Because if you put Cody Ford there and then Feliciano comes back, what do you do, right? And then you don't, and then you, that kind of throws out the best 5. If you think Ford is your best 5, you're gonna have to move him back out to tackle. So probably for me, the best case scenario is one of those guys I mentioned wins the job. Whether that's Spencer Long, Ryan Bates, Evan Bain, whoever it is, I think one of those guys winning the job is the best case scenario, because then you still have position flexibility with Cody Ford if you really want to, but he can also stay at right tackle if that's what they truly want long term for the organization, which is what you alluded to.
So, Sal, obviously this week the Bills were one of the teams making news because they're basically doing their best to get in front of and be proactive about the COVID situation and potential outbreaks in the team. 5 guys come in this week. They send the rookies home because 5 guys test positive. Have positive tests, whether or not they were asymptomatic or not. Ciaran Neal was one of those guys that tested positive, but he was asymptomatic. What do you expect? I mean, we're seeing other teams across the league begin on-field stuff, like Baker Mayfield and in New York with Sam Darnold, just obviously no pads and just some, you know, routes against air, but we're starting to see content out of teams. When do you expect to see the Bills getting on the field and at least start getting some content out there from the team and make it sort of feel like a normal-ish preseason?
Well, they can basically start doing that this weekend. Physicals are today. Physicals and getting fitted for equipment are today. If you follow the Bills' Twitter account, I know a lot of people do out there, some people don't, but I'll let you know. To put everybody's mind at ease, they just literally, right before I went on with you, tweeted out a picture of Stephon Diggs arriving with his helmet. So anybody who thought that, you know, where's Stephon Diggs, haven't heard anything from him, all that kind of stuff, looks like, you know, he's ready to rock and roll. He also had a video posted on another social media page, his Instagram account, of him with his locker. So I think we're going to start seeing that. But basically, you have physicals and you have equipment fitting going on today and tomorrow. So whether they get on the field to do some stretching or not, you know, who knows? But they only are in phase one. And that means, let's go back to what it normally is in April. Phase one is basically guys can use footballs, quarterbacks, receivers, kickers, punters. They can use footballs, but there's no real actual like lining up against each other or anything like that. So I would expect all that stuff to start August 3rd, which is Monday. That's when, you know, we're really going to start getting into all that stuff. And then they're going to have a ramp up period and conditioning period. Once we get to about August 10th, that's when they can start to, you know, put some helmets on, start doing a little more stuff. And they're going to gradually ramp up from there. So, yeah, I think we're going to start seeing some things right there. And as far as the COVID tests, in the cases. It is important to note here, it wasn't, not that you said it, but I want people to know, because I think there was some misreporting and understanding on this, Nate. It wasn't five rookies who tested positive. It was five players total, mm-hmm. but it was two rookies. So they basically sent the rookies home to make sure there hadn't been an outbreak amongst, you know, the rest of the team, essentially. Yesterday, the good news is the Bills had nobody on the COVID list when the NFL came out with its transaction wire. There were teams that had few guys. You know, Miami had two. I think one team at the Rams had three. The Bills had none. So they still have five total guys on the COVID list. And they can return at any time. They just have to pass the league's testing protocols before they can do that. So yeah, everybody's going to have to handle this thing differently. And we're going to be hearing lots of different things, 32 different teams, 32 different ways that they're going to handle mm-hmm. this, Nate. But, you know, the Bills right now are reporting today, and they're going to basically start getting on the field here this weekend or Monday at the latest.
All right, Sal Capaccio here on the Western Hotline. Sal, I know you're a big baseball fan, and I know that if you are a fan of baseball and you're equally a fan of football, you're probably biting your fingernails right now, right? Because you're watching of the major four sports leagues. I don't want to just leave MLS out of it, but let's just talk about the major four. You know, Major League Baseball and the NFL have sort of mirrored each other in what they're going to attempt to do, while the NHL and NBA have created those bubbles, hub cities, where they're just going to stay. They're not going to let players out of those bubbles, and they're going to try to maintain it that way. With what you're seeing happening right now in Major League Baseball, how much concern do you have that a similar situation might end up playing out in the NFL, considering they aren't going to force these teams to quarantine? They're not going to force these teams to bubble and stay only with themselves. They're going to be able to go home with their family. Do you get this? And on top of that, Sal, your point about each 32 teams having their own kind of procedure also concerns me a little bit. But I mean, it's not like they don't get approved by the league. So, like, are you biting your fingernails a little bit on this?
Well, I mean, look, you have to be concerned, right? I mean, what's going on? Of course, everything you just mentioned is right. You don't have to be doing anything that's high risk to even get it, right? You could just, somebody else could come in contact, a family member, and then all of a sudden it goes to you, you know, a teammate. You know, we are seeing this in baseball. I do think it's important, Nate, to point out a couple differences here, though. And number one is when baseball travels, they're in cities for 3-4 days at a time, right? And even though they may say you got to stay in your hotel or whatever, you're still in that city for 3-4 days at a time. You're gonna, you know, get something to eat, you're gonna go to the ballpark or whatever. When football travels, you're literally in these cities for 24 hours. I mean, you're in on Saturday evening and you're out right after the game. You're not even spending any, I mean, basically you're getting probably what, from 4 o'clock in the afternoon to 8 o'clock in the morning is all you really have until you go to the stadium. So it's half a day, basically an overnight trip. And on top of that, because of that, football operations, and I could speak for somebody who's been on, you know, on these road trips with football team for the last 6 years, you know, it's very organized. Yes, there's a lot of people involved, and they're cutting back on that, obviously, but it's very bubble-ish already, if mm-hmm. you will. Like, you basically, it's one plane, you get on a bus, you get to the hotel, you're right there. And now they're going to say, you got to stay in the hotels, that's what the memos say, and then go to the stadium. So I do think there's a lot less ways that, you know, that are going to be risky for football travel as opposed to baseball. And I think that's important to note. However, yes, when you're away from the facility, there's where the difference is. And that's when you have to kind of be a little nervous, because you just never know how somebody or when somebody is going to contact it. And then suddenly you have a breakout amongst the team. Look, the league is doing whatever they can here to try and give teams options for players, expanding practice squads, allowing for protected players on practice squads, have unlimited players return from injured reserve this year, have a COVID-19 list, and then get roster exemptions. So they're basically doing whatever they can to allow teams to have as much flexibility as possible if something like this does happen.
I also think, too, and maybe I'm giving them too much credit, Sal, but I don't think you're going to really surprise Sean McDermott or Brandon Bean with something. I'm sure they've probably prepared for every type of situation. That's why when I saw the Bills send their rookies home this earlier this week, I think a lot of people's first instinct was, oh my God, we got to panic. This is already going south. And I viewed it a very different way. I kind of viewed it as, well, here's just a kind of another example of Sean McDermott and this organization being ahead of situations before they become actual issues. Do you get the sense, too, that maybe the Bills, more than anybody, are a team that is prepared for just about anything to happen during this thing?
They always are, because Sean McDermott is like that. That's just the way he is. He plans for everything. And if something, you know, does surprise him that isn't planned for, he's going to do his absolute best to make sure he gets on top of it as soon as possible and then start planning contingencies right after that. So, yeah, I think that. But, you know, these things are going to pop up here and there. And the Bills Even their statement basically read, we expected cases. We knew that. But when we saw five of them, we said, okay, let's take a disciplined, proactive approach to, you know, making sure this doesn't continue. But that's the way it's been. I'll go back to March. Let's go back to when things started. Hey, you can't. We're not going to have any, you know, OTAs, mini camp, all into April, into May, the draft, all that kind of stuff. Every single time we talked to Sean McDermott, he basically made a point to say, "Yeah, I mean, you have to think about everything and be as prepared as possible to come out of this thing on the back end as best as you can." And by the way, he's saying, A, safety there. He's also saying competitiveness, right? I mean, I think one of the things that I've noticed about the Bills, it seems like Nate. I've really kind of been thinking about this the last week or so. I think the Bills really have seen, like, they're just full steam ahead. Yep, these things are happening, and there's things they have to deal with along the way, like everybody. But it seems like they are just on track and saying, we're just going to go through, and we're going to have a football team, and we're going to have a good season this year because we have a lot on our minds as far as what our goals and accomplishments are. And every time I turn around, as much as there might be a fly in the ointment, like an opt-out or a COVID-19 or whatever, or canceled whatever camps, it just seems like the Bills are just going full steam ahead and doing what they can to kind of keep that off to the side, not let that distract them from what they're trying to do on the field.
Sal, and a quick report, too, from Ian Rappaport. Jim McBride, also, I think he was the original person to tweet this out, but wide receiver Marquise Lee makes it the seventh Patriot player to opt out for the 2020 season. I love a good conspiracy theory, and I know people are throwing them around about the Patriots. Are the Patriots tanking? I do find it interesting that they are having the largest sum of players and marquee players, guys that are very important to their success ultimately, deciding to opt out. I don't get the sense that there's any like thing that's maybe forcing or playing in the hands of Patriots players, maybe being more, you know, reluctant to play. But I certainly find it interesting. A lot of these guys are important players for the New England Patriots.
Okay, they are, but here's what I want to ask anybody who thinks that, you know, the Patriots are tanking basically by doing this. My simple question is, tell me how that conversation goes with Dante Hightower.
Yeah.
He's giving up $8 million to not play football this year. So what? Bill Belichick's going to come to him and say, hey, by the way, could you just like sit out the year and therefore we can lose and you can watch from home? And oh, by the way, even though you're going to give up $8 million, I can also cut you if I want after that and you'll never see that $8 million. Is that okay with you? Is he going to say yes?
Sal, but that's why I love conspiracy theories, because that's just such a ridiculous thing to assume. But like, how? What else are you supposed to do?
I agree
right now
with you, though. It does look a little weird, right? And of course, people are going to, because of Belichick and because it's that organization and they have a history, I think people are going to try to read into it. And look, very respected people do think that maybe there's something going on there that they don't know. I just have a hard time believing that, because players are their own entities. They're not tanking for a team. They're not taking a year off so a team can lose. They're taking years off for a lot of other reasons, but there's just no way. How about this? I have a better theory about the Patriots. They're opting out because they see they don't have Tom Brady and they see the team might be resetting and they feel, why should I have to go through this with a guy like Bill Belichick, who's also kind of tough to work for sometimes? I think that's more likely than anything else.
I think that's totally valid, too. And they look at the season as, and not only that, Sal, you got to remember, a lot of these guys have two, three Super Bowls under their belts already. You might be singing a different tune if you're a player who's never won a Super Bowl or been a part of a deep playoff run. I think your tune might change on that a little, right?
I think so. I mean, it depends on how much money you've made in your career, how much you've been paid this year already. Look, Star Lotulelei got a $500,000 roster bonus in March. Like, I mean, he can take the opt-out. He's already made $500,000, right? I mean, if you've already been paid a roster bonus, it's going to offset that money that you're going to be getting for the voluntary opt-out. And of course, high risk is $350,000 and all that kind of stuff. But it also depends on how much of that. And then, you know, all the questions people have asked about how the contract works, it does toll, it does freeze. If a guy does opt out, his contract simply lifts off the page and moves down a year. But I'm still working on this. One thing I think that it's been kind of a little bit ambiguous, but from what I know, Nate, I will tell you this. I believe the prorated portion of the signing bonus also tolls. So if that's the case, and look, it's not official between the league and the NFLPA, all this stuff yet. They're still waiting on the letter to be signed. And once the letter is signed, then 7 days after that, which is the deadline for opt-outs, by the way, so we still could be hearing a lot of these. But if that's the case, then it looks like the Bills would actually save about over $7 million and close to $8 million on Star instead of the $5 million originally reported.
All right, Sal, last one for you. I want to ask you, because I know that this is probably maybe the most disappointing thing, and I'm actually not even being a jerk and asking you this, but I've got to get I'm sure you have the sense that if Major League Baseball season gets cut, that it would be really it would be tough for a Yankee fan because they do really appear to have the type of roster this year from a pitching perspective, from a lineup perspective, from young to veteran. Like, that's probably the most complete team in baseball. And to waste a year where you're just not going to get any result, I'm sure can't be a great feeling for a Yankee fan right now.
You know what, Nate? I mean, that's right on the surface, but I will promise you, if I found out the Major League season was canceled today, I would not care about the Yankees not winning a World Series or being contending because of that, because there's far more and more important things to be concerned about, and players and people and safety and health. And you know what? We all went April, May, June, July. We went 4 months without baseball. If they just cancel the season and say, let's move it to next year, then I'll say, you know what? The Yankees will have a good team next year too, right? I mean, honestly, it would not impact. It's nice. It's a nice, I guess, distraction kind of. It's been nice to watch. I'm looking forward to hockey. It's been nice to see. But honestly, if any of these, if baseball today said we're not doing it, I would not be like really upset about, oh my God, the Yankees had a chance and they're not, because there are far more important things to worry about.
All right, Sal, thanks for making the time, my friend. I appreciate it. Enjoy the rest of your weekend, and we'll be keeping locked on WGR550.com for all your updates for training camp as we move along.
Okay, buddy. Have a good weekend.
Thanks, Sal. You too. Sal Capaccio there on the Western Hotline. Quick timeout. Other side, we'll have another quick segment. Then Mark Herzlich, the Radio.com insider, joining us at noon here on WGR. This is some extreme I did not know you were an EDM DJ, Corey.
This is mowing the lawn music.
This is, I'm going to go ahead and put on the Air Monarchs.
Yep.
Get a nice diagonal cut.
Yeah, absolutely. Going back and forth.
That's
on
right.
It.
Nice diagonal cut in the yard.
Because last time you did it horizontal.
That's right. You got to get the cross flow.
That's correct.
I appreciate a good front yard mow. I haven't mowed the lawn in years because I haven't lived in my parents' house and I live in an apartment.
Got
to
get your worst pair of jean shorts. Get
That's
out there
right.
and do some work.
Some cutoff jean shorts, please. Yep. Please. All right, quick timeout. Mark Herzlich is going to join us next. Radio.com Insider. Going to talk some NFL. Going to talk some college football. That's coming up next here. So stay tuned on WGR.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.